The big plus that we have that we don't have to travel, we don't have to follow Rav Shapiro around wherever he goes to hear him. We could hear him right here in our own community. And especially now, at a time that there's a lot of turmoil and the amount of introspection, the amount of the 3 weeks, it's a big success that we have within our community, one of the greatest mashpiyim in the entire country, and Shlucha Derabbanan, many inyanim, to lead us in inyanim and b'frat here in our community. So it's a big success to hear Divrei Chizuk v'Seiros from Rabbi Shapiro Shlita. Thank you very much for giving us your time.
I'm very honored to be here, and it gives me the opportunity to publicly express mamish words that are on my heart. Firstly, a tremendous hakar satov to the two Rashi Kail, Rabbi Blezer and to Rabbi Singer. Of course, to all of the Choshev Yom Galayt, and to those in the Kehillah who came tonight, I'm very, very grateful. That we came together to try to get chizuk in these days of Bein HaMetzarim. But on a very personal note, before I even begin, I want to thank the Kailal, the Yungalait Bechlau, and the Rishis Rabbi Friedman, and the Rashi Kailal Befrat for the impact, of course, that they've had on our Kehillah. But on a personal level, the impact that the Kailal and the Rashi Kailal have had on me and on every member of my family. And that's something that I don't take for granted, not even for a moment. I can't even properly express it other than to say, Ein milim b'fila habia rikshe levavi. The most I could do is repeat that sentence that is bursting from within me. I can't even express, not bekamus or be'echos, the impact and the hashpa and what it means from the Rashi Kailal and from the Yungalite and the Kailal in general, and in every sense the impact that it's made on myself and every member of my family. And I know, of course, that there are hundreds of family and thousands of people who feel the same way. But this is just, I'm sorry that I'm taking a few minutes from the speech. I know we have to end by 10 o'clock, and I don't want to abuse my privilege. Or maybe by a few minutes, but not by a lot. But I felt al tzachir of akara satoiv to express those words of appreciation for the impact in so many countless ways that the Kailal, the Yungalait, or Rashi Kailal have had on so many of us. It's something that's priceless, and I want to say thank you. When Yaakov Avinu was giving a bracha to his children, and he said, B'cho Yivarech Yisrael, when he was speaking about to Ephraim and Menashe. So B'cho Yivarech Yisrael literally means that the bracha for us should be like Ephraim and Menashe. Many reasons given why. But just to open with a simple thought as it relates to Bein HaMetzarim, you know, there's something that I'll be honest with you. It bothers me from time to time, if I'm allowed to say. And I don't mean here, and I don't mean anywhere specific at all. It's just an attitude that sometimes is prevalent. You know, I'm looking forward to the 3 weeks being over. Like, you know, I can't wait till not Machas Yom HaKippur, Machas Tisha B'Av, so that, okay, we could resume the swimming and listening to music and taking the haircut, and I could go back to eating meat. It's almost like the 3 weeks by some have become days that it's just it's a little bit of a nuisance, it's a little bit of a hindrance. It really cramps my schedule very much. So I just want to see how quickly I could pass the days, get over with it, so that. That's a terrible, terrible, it borders on being a despicable approach. The 3 weeks are taka weeks of opportunity. They're weeks of growth. They're weeks of introspection. I know we usually talk that way about Elul and the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. That's true, but it's equally true when it comes to these 3 weeks. especially as Rabbi Blezer, the Reish Chayil, said, these days that we're living through are just as unique and as extraordinary as anyone here, even though there are people in this room that are far older than me, or somewhat older than me, can remember. That's not hyperbole. The things that Klal Yisrael here, certainly in Eretz Yisrael, on so many levels are going through, is pretty much unprecedented. For a person to have the approach that the 3 weeks, I just like, in other words, they hear the words that I'm saying, but deep down kind of hope, like, can we just let them go by without, you know, and then I can enjoy summer. It's a terrible approach. So when Yaakov Avinu was blessing and giving a bracha about Ephraim and Menashe, and really essentially Klal Yisrael, he said, B'cho Yivarech Yisrael. So I once saw a beautiful word. B'cho Beis Chof is the gematria of 22. Beis Chof. It's a mistake to think that in the 3 weeks there are 21 days. That's not true. Obviously, in the 3 weeks, there are 22 days, because let's say this year, where Shavasar B'Tammuz was on a Tuesday, and 3 weeks later, Tisha B'Av was on a Tuesday, from Tuesday to Tuesday, Ad V'Ad B'chlal, it's 22 days. And maybe that's what Yaakov Avinu was saying. B'cho, those 22 days of the Bein HaMetzarim, from Shavasar through and including Tisha B'Av, Yivarech Yisrael, turn them into days of bracha. Turn them into days of opportunity, of introspection, days of being able to poilize and accomplish. But the other approach is something that really should cause a person sorrow, just to even think that way. So I hope that we're able to accomplish from now till Meir, that at least these days will be days, and that's why we're talking, saying it now, Mamash, at the beginning, right after Shavasar, of Becha, the 22 days, Shavasar, through and including Tisha B'Av, Yivarech Yisrael, days of opportunity, days of introspection, days of what I could do to yearn for the Baye Shlishi. Shchinta Bigilusa should be the biggest reason that we're davening. It's interesting, we found a few weeks ago in Parshas Chukas, we just read that Bnei Yisrael was faulted for a wrongdoing. Many Mefarshim grappled with what was the wrongdoing, and that's why the proximity of the border of Edom is mentioned, Rashi, to say that it was something in reference to Edom. That was the wrongdoing of Klal Yisrael. There's a Nifladik Hashem Yishmuel. The Shem Yishmuel tells us that the wrongdoing, as mentioned in Parshas Chukas vis-a-vis our relationship with Edom, was that when we asked permission from the king of Edom to be able to enter into Eretz Yisrael, I didn't take a chumash in the beginning, Alex. Thank you. I knew I should have taken one. The pasuk there says that we said, I believe, Koyamar Achicha Yisrael, that our emissaries are speaking on our behalf. We would like entry into Eretz Yisrael. So we asked, Koyamar Achicha Yisrael, this is what we are beseeching. And the Shem Yishmuel says that you are referring to Edom as your brother? What is this, a kinship? You're trying to evoke favor of a brotherhood? You're my brother? My long-lost brother? How dare you? The Shem Yishmuel says that was the undoing of Klal Yisrael, that you went ahead and evoked and said, this idea of Koyamar Achicha Yisrael, that was, says the Shem Yishmuel, our downfall, because what right do you have to use the word Achicha vis-a-vis Edom? The kash is an obvious one. If a person takes a look in Devarim, Perek of Gimel Pasuk Ches, the Pasuk says, Leisisaiva Daimi, Ki Achichahu. They are our brother. So how can we possibly be faulted? And the Shem Yishmuel himself wonders this. How can we be faulted for going ahead and saying that Koyamar Achicha Yisrael, and that was our wrongdoing, that we shouldn't have evoked that kinship? How are you, my long-lost brother? The Torah says, Leisisaiva Daimi Ki Achichahu, they are your brother. So if they are, what was our fault? And if they're not, what does the Pasuk mean? The Shem Yishmuel himself answers Nifladik. The Shem Yishmuel says, that pasuk over there that says Leisava Demi Ki Achichahu is referring to Yaakov. Yaakov and Esav are Taka brothers. Esav is Edom. Yaakov and Esav are Taka brothers. They come from the same parents. That's a true statement. There's no getting around it. They are brothers, Yaakov and Esav. The pasuk over here says that when we had emissaries that turned to the king of Edom, he said, Koyamar Achicha Yisrael. And Yisrael and Esav, they could never be brothers. Yaakov and Esav, says the Shem Yishmuel, they could be brothers. They Taka are brothers, and that was their relationship. They came from the same parents. But although Yaakov and Esav are brothers, to think that Yisrael and Esav could be brothers, there could be absolutely no connection ever between Esav and Yisrael. Between Esav and Yaakov, yes, that's a fact. But between Esav and Yisrael, unacceptable Gamri. And that was our wrongdoing. That was our undoing, says the Shem Yishmul, that we turned to the king of Edom and said, Koyamar Achicha, the fault is not on the word Achicha, the fault is on the word Yisrael. A connection between Yisrael and Esav Cholila. Yisrael represents something so dehaibin, so extraordinary. We've said many times, Yisrael represents that when there's a challenge, I don't fold. When there's a crisis, I double down and try harder. When a person's going through an issue in life, they'll try to better themselves. I remember hearing a story, I can't tell you which particular army it happened, but that one of the heads of the army appointed someone to watch all of the soldiers ride the big stallions and horses and to make a rishim and a list who he thought was the best, and he was going to pick 10% to go ahead and be in. So he was watching from up above, and the guy with the rishim was watching, okay. He fell off after a minute. He was able to stay on 3 minutes, or he could stay on 7 minutes. He made a gans rishima, and he put, of course, those who were able to stay on the longest, and he brought the list to the head of the army. The head of the army was also watching, crossed off almost everybody that fellow put down, and he made an entirely new list. So he said, what are you doing? Those fellows that you're choosing for your army, they were not people that went ahead and stayed on and that stayed on the horse the longest. And he mamish did his list very meticulously, very methodically. Stayed on. So he looked at him, he said, foolish person, do you think that I'm taking into my army the one that stayed on the horse the longest? Who cares? So he fell off after a minute and he stayed on for an hour and a quarter. Who cares? The criteria that I look for in my army is, after falling off, who got back on the quickest? That's the only thing I care about in an army. Maybe that fellow stayed on 20 minutes, but he was so lackadaisical, he didn't get back on for another half hour. But that guy Taka fell off, and he was thrown off after a minute, but 10 seconds later, he was back on again. My regime, and the only thing I care about in my army, is not how long somebody stayed on, but who was it that after falling off was able to persevere and get back on the quickest. That's really what Yisrael is. Yaakov and Esav, they're Taka brothers. There could never be a connection between Yisrael and Esav. Yisrael represents such a exalted living. Yisrael represents that when there are challenges, I'll double down and get back on the horse. Yisrael represents that even though I may have fallen 7 times, I'll get back up. Yisrahl represents an ideal of a Hoya Machanecha Kodesh. I cannot get those words out of my mind these days. I just can't. I'm being honest with you. V'hoya machanecha kodesh, the machan of yourself, the machan of your home, the machan of where you are. V'hoya machanecha kodesh is a din Yisrael. That Yaakov and Esav are brothers, that's true. That Yisrael and Esav are brothers, that's our own doing. That could never be. I really think these are days as we open B'choy Yivarech Yisrael. The Taka doesn't say B'choy Yivarech Yaakov. He's the one who gave the brachas. These brachas are not emanating if you behave like a Yaakov. Becha, to be zaycha, to turn these 22 days into meaningful days and days of rejoicing, it has to be that you turn them into bracha coming from Yisrael. It has to be that you behave like Yisrael and not like Yaakov. And that's Taka B'shach. Becha, Yivarech, if you want to turn the 22 days into, then it has to be Yisrael dik existence. As Rabbi Blezer mentioned, there's no, these days, our response has to be a response of Yisrael. My father, Zatzal, used to say on the Pasuk that you find in Sefer Shemais, V'leikarav zel zeh kol alayla, in B'shalach. Now, literally, it means that geographically, we did not get close to the Mitzriim. In other words, we made sure to keep a distance of however many kilometers. My father, Zatzal, used to say differently. It was a Moiradik Achidish, people were very inspired by it. Whenever you see the word Laila, Laila is always a reference, a euphemism, to the Laila of Golos. The Mashal Chochma speaks about it in Kamim Mekhaimis. Laila is a reference to Golos. My father used to say the number one rule for any Yid to remember, for any Yisrael Dikki Yid to remember is, V'loi Korav Zeh El Zeh Kol Laila. Throughout the whole night of Golos, V'loi Korav Zeh El Zeh, don't get too close. Don't get too close. I want to fit in, I want to Misharayin, I want to... No. V'loi Korav Zeh El Zeh Kol Laila. There's no room for us to go ahead and to get close, to mimic, to let any of the ideals seep in, kol halayla, throughout the whole long galus. I'm trying hard, especially now during these 3 weeks. I hope b'siyata d'shmaya to be able to focus on this nekuda, not of Yaakov but of Esau. Excuse me, but of Yisrael, of b'choy yivorech Yisrael. A person's off the horse, but how quickly they could get back on the dahayben kind of ahayim achanecha kadosh. I could hear my father saying it. This is a funereal gullus of Lila. You cannot get close. There's a uniqueness. There's a mitsuyanim sham. Mitsuyanim sham. Chazal said the word mitsuyanim sham. We remained unique. We remained distinct. We remained separate. We remained different. That's a badge of honor. That's not something to run from. It's an avoida taka to focus on during the 3 weeks to be able to go ahead and bring about the Yisrael. Interesting, I was thinking after I saw this vort that there could never be a connection between Yisrael and Esav, Yaakov and Esav, yes, Yisrael and Esav. I thought maybe they're very merumas in the words, because Yisrael, we're saying, is this expression of growth, of change, of persevering. Esav is milashon asui. Asui means I'm good. I'm made. You stop telling me what to do. Stop pressuring me to take it to the next level. Listen, here's my game plan for the next 3 weeks. I put it in my calendar, and the next 3 weeks I'll do doctor's appointments. I'll fill it with this. And the morning after Tisha B'Av, life starts. That's an existence of ace of asui. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be pressured. I don't want that. Yisrael is the antithesis of that. Yisrael is the expression of I want to grow and become better. And Esav is miloshen asui, that I'm fine as is. I remember years ago hearing an interessante gematria that I think carries with it a lot of weight. Whether the person's into gematria or not into gematria, but I think that it's a very, very meduya dikke gematria. What's taka the nafgamina between Yaakov and Yisrael, at least in terms of name and gematria? Yaakov is big gematria, 182. Yisrael is Bigamatria 541. The difference between 182 Yaakov and 541 Yisrael is exactly 359. Satan, Shin Tes Nun, is Bigamatria 359. When one overcomes Satan and gets back on and perseveres and tries and shtays and says, there's more, there's more, there's more, v'hoya machanecha kadosh, they change and shafa matzev, not of Yaakov, but of Yisrael. Yaakov is 182, Yisrael is 541, the differential is 359, Satan. When you overcome Satan, you're able to catapult yourself to a level of Yisrael. And that's taka b'shan. V'cho yivarech Yisrael. To bring about the 22 days, they should be days of bracha, we have to create a matzav of Yisrael, of a uniqueness, of a distinctness, of an exquisiteness. The whole world is setting us apart. We have to set ourselves apart. They shouldn't be doing it for us. We should be setting ourselves apart. We talk to have to believe we can. I don't like when people hear these words and think, but I'm not all that. That's a treifa hashkafa. I'll bring you a nifl dikarai from the Meshach Chachma. It's a mayra dikar Meshach Chachma. Pile, 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 playing Parshas Maaseh, coming up next week. The Pasuk says that there were Arei Miklat, three that were Eiver Yarden. There were another three that were in Eretz Yisrael. A total of six. Rashi says, if you take a look at Rashi, Lamed Hey Yud Gimel, the three that were Transjordan, Eiver Yarden, were not, although they were up and running, up and running, up and running. I don't even want to equate it, but I remember on the trips when I was in Europe and there with a tour. So I remember when I was by Madanek, it's so surreal that you mamish think Chalil Rachman al Islam, you don't even want to say the words. Like a person just connects a little electricity and like everything is in such a kept in such working order, Chalil Rachman al Islam. But that's mamish the feeling that you get. You look around and it's like that's the only thing that was missing was the electricity to go. Other than that, in Maidanic, everything. And right next with the Lublina Yeshiva. It's not for now, but the worst thing about it is, and I'm sorry I'm digressing for 30 seconds, that Mamish and Maidanek across a small field, were all of the houses and apartment buildings of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram. They say that in the morning, they packed their breakfast, their lunch, their croissant, their coffee, they crossed the street, did their arbit, they did their work, murdered Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, and then in the evening crossed the street and went home. If you've ever been, you know, I just described exactly what it's like. I'm sorry I digress. Be it as it may, the Ari Miklot were really operational. But, Rashi Lamed Hey Yud Gimel in Maseh, that they could not be, although they were operational, although they were ready to work, they couldn't be operational until 14 years later when the other three in Eretz Yisrael, the switch had to be turned on all six at the same time. That's a Rashi's Masper. Why? That means it comes out that for those 14 years, that it really could have worked as soon as you just put on the switch. But Bibalti had to have a 14-year delay. If somebody was culpable and killed somebody b'shaygei, although that manslaughter is terrible, it was essentially off the hook. What's the Hezber and Rashi? The Meshech Chochma of Meir Simcha, Zeches Adar Kosher Baruch Hu, says in Niflu Degavar, he's Masber. We know, of course, since the Gemara and Makkos, that the only way that a person goes free is with the death of the Kohen Gadol. Albeit it might have been at the time that he killed the Shaygei that it was a very young Kohen Gadol. And maybe if it was a young Kohen Gadol, I don't know, people could die young. Every day that this fellow who killed the Shaygei was an Ir Miklat, he had hope. He had hope. Because if the Kohen Gadol dies, albeit it might have been a young Kohen Gadol, I go free. So every day he knew he had a ticket to get out, a get out of jail ticket, a free pass, a way to get out, the death of the Kohen Gadol. During those 14 years, 7 years of conquest of Eretz Yisrael, and 7 years of dividing Eretz Yisrael, over those 14 years, we know that Elazar, who was appointed Kohen Gadol after his father Aaron, the Torah appoints Elazar, B'nai Shel Aaron Kohen Gadol, who became the Kohen Gadol, appoints Elazar together with Yeshua to divide Eretz Yisrael. That means that if somebody would have killed B'shoigeg and gone to that year Miklat Eivar Yarden, for the next 14 years, he knew the Kohen Gadol, Elazar Kohen Gadol, couldn't possibly die, because the Torah is made that Elazar Kohen Gadol was chosen together with Yeshua after the 7 years of conquest to divide Eretz Yisrael. That means for sure, for the next 14 years, I'm stuck here because the Kohen Gadol can't possibly die. To kill somebody b'shaygig is bad. To take away his hope is too harsh. Don't take away anybody's hope. Zok de Meshech Chochma, look it up yourself. Of course, to kill B'shoigeg, the person should be culpable and it's terrible. But you have no right to put him in such a harsh matzav that for the next 14 years of his life, every day when he gets up, he knows, I have no hope. Elazar has to stay alive till the division of Eretz Yisrael is finished, and I only go out with the death of the Kohen Gadol. You're essentially removing his hope. You're removing his ability to believe he could change the situation. You're removing him from a Yisrael existence, and you're placing him in an Esav Matziv. That, says the Meshech Chochma, is too harsh. You don't do that even to somebody who killed B'shoigeg. That's why in Olam Alshinim we say, there's a lot of things we say in Olam Alshinim to do to those who inform on us. But what's the worst thing you could do? I think this is from Shlomo Zalman. Olam Alshinim, al tisikva. Take away their hope. I'm pretty sure it's from Shlomo Zalman. Because when you take away somebody's hope, there ain't nothing worse you could do to a person. Nothing. And Mamela, that's why they couldn't be operational until 14 years later, because you can't put a person in a matzah where he has no hope. I know the 3 weeks are known, the Haftarah is cluster for Anus, I'm aware of that. The three of affliction. I think it's a chance to view the 3 weeks as 3 weeks of hope. 3 weeks of Yisrael. 3 weeks of a Leikarav Zel Zeh Kol Alayla. 3 weeks of getting back on the horse and creating a Matzav Ohayim Machanech HaKadosh. 3 weeks of unbelievable steiging, sai ben adam l'chaveru, ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'atzoi. Everybody knows on an individual level. I really believe humbly that's a way to view the 3 weeks. Don't take away my hope. Make them weeks of yearning, weeks of belief. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, extraordinary Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. He brings down a mice I said last year on Tisha B'Av. It's a hard mice to say over. There were 10 Yidin, and he said, I heard this from the Rav that it happened with. There were 10 Yidin who did something that they ended up, the government or whatever type of court they were placing. Whatever type of court there was, obviously wasn't a real one. And instead of being punished, these 10 Yidin to Siberia, they were punished to be condemned as prisoners to death. After the judges announced the verdict, the highest ranking priest went to the courtroom and he told the 10 Yidin, in this fake courtroom in Russia, where they were condemned to death for whatever trumped up charges, I'm giving you a chance to live. Just convert to Christianity and you'll all be pardoned. You can return home like nothing happened. I'm giving you 5 days to make your decision. Mamish a modern day Nasana Taikif. Not exact Maisa, but similar. The Russians knew that the strength of the Yidin comes when we're together. We strengthen each other's emunah. So they deliberately divided the 10 prisoners into 10 different cells. With each one being alone, the priest was sure that they would no doubt convert to save their lives. No one in those days was ever allowed to visit the prisoners except for the Rav himself, the Rav who told this to Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. The priest told the Rav, have compassion on your 10 people and convince them, Rabbi, to convert to Christianity. The fifth day arrived, and the Rav said, Meirav Rabbeisai, let's daven together for 10 of our Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael that they remain strong and pass the difficult test. Don't exchange the Olam HaNitzchi for just a few years in this fleeting world. Let's daven and daven that they should pass the Nisoyan and die Al Kiddush Hashem and be Kain Olam Haba. The Rav was meyed, the heart-rending tefillahs were nishum gloivim. After the davening, very emotionally, the Rav took out 9 candles and he lit 9 candles, le'iloi nishmais, the 9 men who for sure chose death over converting. And he didn't take out a 10th candle, because one of the 10 who were accused was a young orphan boy, and he only had a mother, and this was her only child. And the Rav figured that a young boy, a yosim with an almana, he's not going to be able to pass the nisayon. Why should I distress the poor almana with the thought that maybe he couldn't have passed the nisayon? The almana was watching from the Ezra's Noshim, and she stood up and she called out to the Rav, light a candle for my son! Rebbe, light a candle for my son! Light a 10th candle! I'm sure he'll be Meiser Nefesh! That's my only hope! Don't take away my hope! Don't take away a person's hope! My only hope is that he shouldn't fail the test, and I want to remain with this Amuna. The Rav lit the 10th candle so as not to take away your hope. A little while later, a shliach arrived with the news that 10 men, including the little boy, had died al Kiddush Hashem. The mother rejoiced over her son's sacrifice. They understood her love for Yiddishkeit. She passed down to the Yosum. And by not taking away her hope, she was taka right. He passed the test. These are days of hope. These are days of Yisrael. These are days of uniqueness of Elikarav Zelza Kol Alayla. I want to end with a bracha from the Netziv. The Netziv. The last pasuk in Eicha. Ki im ma'ois ma'astonu katsafta leinu ad ma'oid ha'shivein ha'shem lech l'neshuva chadei shemeinu ki kedem. Says the Netziv. When an Odoin has an Eved that did a chet, the Odin is not happy with the Eved. There are two ways that the Odin could respond to the Eved. If he plans on keeping the Eved, then he's got to teach him a lesson. He's got to give him a punch, he's got to beat him, he's got to do whatever he can. I plan on keeping you, so I have to shape you up that you don't make the mistake again. The other approach that the Odin could take is, I'm so frustrated with you, I'm sending you off. Now, if he's sending off the Eved, he's not going to lay a hand on him. You want to sell an Eved that looks good, that looks pristine, not one that you gave all the clap to. The treatment of the Odin to the Eved tells you, says the Netziv, what the Odin plans on doing with the Eved, keeping him or sending him off. Zok the Netziv, Saif Eicha. Bibayne Shalaylam. You're our Adon, we are your Avadim, and we have done things incorrect. But as our Adon, what do you plan on doing with us? Hichlifam ba'uma acheres? Sending us off? Or you plan on keeping us? Vaisteis, you plan on keeping us. As the Pasuk says, ki ema'ois ma'astanu. We taka have been disgraced and given patch. Katsafta aleinu ad ma'oid. The Bari Yoylam as our Adam towards us as the Avadim has displayed anger. So while of course that's very harsh treatment, but that could only mean one thing. It could only mean that the treatment you plan on giving us is not to send us off to another nation. If you plan on sending us off, you would keep us in mint condition. From the fact that Mois Mastana and Katsafta Aleinu Amoyim, that's the Gress the Raya that you plan on keeping us. If you plan on keeping us, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha V'Neshuva, Chadesh Yameinu Kekadem. May it taka happen, B'Heir B'Yameinu Amen.